This morning I'd like to call your attention to John chapter 14, where our Savior Jesus Christ begins this chapter by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ opens this chapter by telling us that we shouldn't be letting our hearts be troubled, even in a troubled world. How can you not have a troubled heart? Well, he tells us we need to have our focus on another world, on the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. And we believe he's there referring to heaven itself, which is called the Father's house in this text. And in the Father's house are many mansions. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. We believe he went to Calvary, and there at the cross, he gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins and made the preparations for us to be in heaven someday. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. How many of y'all are looking forward to his coming again? That's the blessed hope, isn't it? Jesus is coming back the second time. And notice he says, I will come again that where I am and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's what's going to make heaven, heaven. The fact that Jesus is there. That where I am, he says, there ye may be also. We'll be with him in heaven. And I want us to notice down in verse 6, Jesus saith unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, what way is Jesus referring to? He's referring to the way to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What we're all looking forward to in the resurrection is being with our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father. And Jesus says, I am the way. He's the only way to heaven, to be with the Father in glory. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I want us to think about that statement a moment. Jesus says, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way, implying that there would be other ways to get to heaven in addition to me. No, he says, I am the way. How many ways are there from Danville, Georgia, to Macon, Georgia? I would say there are many ways. Now, the best way, the most convenient way, is Interstate 16. But there's another way to Macon, Old Highway 80. Some of these young people here today probably have never been up Highway 80 to Macon. That's the only way we ever had to go to Macon, through Jeffersonville, Dry Branch. You can still get to Macon that way. You could take 358 over to 112 and 112 to Cochran Short Route. You could go to Macon that way. How many ways are there to Macon? A lot of ways. You could go to Warner Robins and go through there to Macon. There are a lot of ways to Macon. You could even walk to Macon through the woods. Are y'all with me? There are a lot of ways to Macon. But there's not a lot of ways to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. The only way anybody will ever go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. How many of y'all believe that? Jesus says, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, the only way anybody will ever go to heaven is through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. But if you've ever listened to religious broadcasting, or if you've ever read the books of religious leaders, you may have found out that men have come up with a lot of different ways for people to go to heaven. Some say that the people on this earth from the days of Adam and Eve to Moses went to heaven one way. And those from Moses to Jesus Christ went to heaven another way. And those from Jesus, from the first coming of Jesus to the second coming of Jesus Christ go to heaven by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing it. And that's the way you and I get to heaven, by believing the gospel. And then you ask, well, what about in our day, what about the heathen who never get to hear the gospel? They never have had a Bible. Y'all do know there are people on this earth that have never heard of Jesus. And since Jesus was here 2,000 years ago until today, I think we could make a pretty good case that a large percentage of the human family has never heard the name of Jesus. I know that's hard to believe right here in Georgia, where you got churches all over the country and you got preachers on the radio and the TV talking about Jesus. But beloved, that's not true in many parts of the world. So we have what we might refer to as the heathen who've never heard of Jesus. How are they going to get to heaven? Well, some say the way they get to heaven is on their ignorance. They've never heard of Jesus, and so Jesus takes them to heaven because they're ignorant of the gospel. Others say, well, all those that die in infancy are going to heaven because of their infantile purity. Have y'all ever heard of that? That the little baby is innocent, he's pure, or she is pure, so they get to go to heaven because of their infantile purity. Others say, well, if you die before you're 12 years of age, you get to go to heaven because you were never accountable for your sins. 12 years of age is supposed to be the age of accountability, when you become accountable for your sins. And if you die before you're 12 years old, your sins are on your parents. They bear your guilt and your shame. And then there are others who say, well, the mentally handicapped, who really don't have a sound mind and they can't reason, how do they get to heaven? Well, they get to heaven because of their mental disabilities. Well, what about the Jews? You know, there was a blindness that was given to the Jewish people. It was a judgment of blindness on the Jewish people after they crucified the Lord Jesus. They were blind. And until this hour, the vast majority of people in the Jewish race do not believe in Jesus Christ. Are y'all aware of that? It's very rare to come across a Jew that believes in Jesus. Now, they believe in God, the Creator, the Genesis chapter 1 God, but they don't believe that Jesus is their Messiah. They're still looking for it. How are they going to get to heaven? I've heard some interesting theories about how the Jews from the days of Christ until now are going to get into heaven. Very interesting. So, how many ways are there to heaven? Well, I've just named off six or seven that I've heard about all of my adult life, ways that people are going to get into heaven. Now, Jesus said, I am the way. Anybody who ever goes to heaven is going to go there by way of the cross, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But many people think, well, if Jesus is the way to heaven, then you've got to know about him, you've got to hear about him, and you've got to accept him before he can be the way for you. Now that's where we disagree with a lot of people. We all believe that we're going to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the way to heaven. But there will be many people in heaven who never even heard of Jesus on this earth. Many people in glory. From the people from Adam to Moses, from Adam and Eve to Moses, that was over 2,000 years. And you can imagine how many millions of people lived on the earth from that time till now. Are all those people going to hell? No. God has a people out of every generation that's ever lived on earth that'll be in heaven. But they never heard of Jesus. How are they going to get into heaven? Well, we're going to try to look at that in a moment. Infantile purity. Now, we all love the little babies, don't we? They're cute. I've never seen an ugly baby in my life. Some cuter than others, but I've never seen an ugly baby. But I want to tell you, they're not pure. They're not innocent. They wouldn't die if they didn't have sin in their bodies. I know that sounds harsh to some, but David said in Psalm 51 that he was shapen in iniquity and in sin did his mother conceive him. In other words, the day that David was conceived in his mother's womb, she was a sinner. And people will say, well, Brother Sam, all that does is prove that David's mother was a sinner. But it also proves that David was a sinner because in the book of Job, the question is asked, can a clean thing come out of an unclean? No, not one. If this cup today was full of dirty water and there was something in the cup, could you take that something out of the cup of dirty water and that something would be pure and clean? No, you can't. You can't have sinless children coming from sinful parents. Y'all do know that, don't you? And your mom and daddy were sinners, and that means you're born a sinner in this world. The idea of infantile purity is foreign to the Word of God. Now, we do believe, and I certainly believe, that in the covenant of God, in God's divine providence, only the elect are allowed to die in infancy. And I believe they'll be in heaven, but it won't be because of their infantile purity. They'll be in heaven the same way you and I will be in heaven, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what about the heathen? Are they going to heaven because of their ignorance? In other words, they never got a chance to hear, and so are they going to go to heaven because of their ignorance? Well, you know, beloved, if that's true, let's say we have an island over here in the South Pacific, and there's 100,000 people on that island, and they've never heard of Jesus, never had a Bible, never heard of Jesus, and they all die, do they get to go to heaven? Well, if that's true, I think we ought to just leave them in their ignorance. Wouldn't y'all think? Come on now. That doesn't take much thinking. If 100,000 people are ignorant about Jesus, and we go over there with our Bibles as missionaries and begin to tell them about Jesus, they're no longer ignorant, but they reject the gospel and they go to hell, we didn't do them a favor, did we? We should have left them in their ignorance. Is that complicated? No, we ought to just leave them all in their ignorance and let everybody go to heaven based on their ignorance. That's, ignorance is not going to get you into heaven, beloved. Mentally disabled people. And we have a lot of those in our world. And our hearts go out to those that are mentally disabled or afflicted in some way. You know, that's heartbreaking. But they're not going to get into heaven because of their mental condition. That's not going to get them into heaven. The only way the mentally disabled will get into heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ shed on that cross 2,000 years ago. That's the only way. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through the precious blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus says, He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, a lot of people will say, well, it's that belief in Jesus that gets you to heaven. But you see, we've already shown that millions of the human family have never known about Jesus. And they didn't believe in Him. But I want to say this morning to you and to me that are blessed to have Bibles, and we are living in the gospel age. If you believe what's in this book, your hearts will not be troubled. You say, Brother Sam, I get so upset. I get nervous. I'm troubled. I'm depressed. I'm sad. Well, I want to tell you, a good way to overcome a lot of that is to keep your mind on Jesus Christ and believe in Him. And it will keep your heart from being troubled. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. Some people think if I could just be young again, I wouldn't be troubled. Well, I know a lot of young people. I was young one time, and being young doesn't keep you from being troubled. Some people think if I could just be rich, if I could have a lot of money, I don't think I'd be troubled. We have a lot of people in the world that are very wealthy, but they're troubled. Let me tell you, beloved, youth, riches, good looks, fame, popularity will not keep your heart from being troubled. You know what's going to help you and me from living a trouble-free life in this world? Keeping our minds focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that He loves us and died for us 2,000 years ago, and He's coming back to get us and take us to glory. I want to tell you, That's good news. But you see, the devil doesn't want your mind stayed on Jesus. The devil, the world, the flesh, they want your mind on all the trouble and the heartaches and the sins of this world. And you and I have to work real hard to keep our minds focused on Jesus Christ. Gather in the wanderings of our mind and focus them on the Lord Jesus. You know, something that would be good for all of us is to look through our hymn books on a daily basis. You know, these songs, have you noticed all these songs are about Jesus and heaven? They are. There's none in there about football, baseball, soccer. There's no songs in here about getting rich in this world. There's no songs in there about how great you and I are. These songs are designed to point our minds to heaven and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we need to get to church early and help to sing every song. And I think, Brother Donnie, we ought to start having a prayer before the song service and ask God to help us to sing in the Spirit. Would y'all agree with that today? Yeah. See, song service it helps to get our minds settled on the Lord Jesus. And when you start singing Amazing Grace, or How Great Thou Art, or Heaven Must Be a Beautiful Place, I want to tell you, those songs help to lift us up and get us ready for worship. And you and I would be blessed through the week if we would sit around and sing a song and get our minds back to where they belong. Are y'all with me today? Thank you for the amen. See, your mind is your mind, but you're in charge of it. And you're responsible for what you think about all day long. And it's hard to keep your mind focused on the Lord Jesus. There's so many distractions in this world. Have y'all noticed that? I mean, so many things to worry about, so many things to be concerned about. But if the child of God would set his affection on things above, not on things on this earth, we would find that we have a lot less worry and fear and trouble in our lives. I tell you, you know, the Bible says that John, the Apostle John, who was arrested for being a preacher of the gospel, and he was taken out to an island called Patmos out in the ocean. And out there on that island, he was a prisoner. That's where they took prisoners. Patmos was sort of a place where they took criminals and prisoners. And out there on that island, I want you to think with me just a moment. He's an old man. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was the only apostle that stood there at the cross when Jesus was dying at Calvary. He was there with Mary, the three Marys. John was a young man when Jesus was on this earth. But now he's been serving Jesus Christ. He's been preaching. He's been pastoring. He was blessed to write the Gospel of John. How many of y'all love the Gospel of John? I love it. And the three little Johns. Now he's an old man. He's been arrested and taken out on an island to suffer as a prisoner for Jesus' sake. And I can just see him out there. He wasn't in a church service like we're in this morning. How many of y'all glad we got a church building here and comfortable place? Y'all sitting on padded pews. We didn't have those when I was a kid. I wish some of these kids had to sit on the pews we had to sit on when I was a little boy. Y'all got it made. I mean, I know you don't have a great preacher, but you got a nice church building, hadn't you? Y'all just sitting there looking comfortable. You got air conditioning. I'd say we got it made physically. Would y'all agree with me? Well, John was not in a church service like we're in this morning in a comfortable building. He's out there on a lonely island having been arrested for Jesus' sake. And he's being punished. And I can just see the old man. No longer able to fellowship with the saints of God. And I can see the white caps rolling in. And the seagulls singing. And the old man has been locked up away from the saints of God. But I want you to listen to what the Bible says. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. See, that's what you and I need. We need to be in the Spirit of the Lord. Are y'all with me this morning? How valuable do we know the Holy Spirit is? See, when you and I are full of the Holy Spirit, it has a very positive influence on us. Paul said, don't be drunk with wine. You know what a lot of trouble people do? They get drunk. On drugs, alcohol. Well, Paul said there's something better than drugs and alcohol to help you get through your troubles. You know what it is? The Holy Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine wherein... Be not drunk with wine. But he said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Well, Paul gives us three things that identify those that are full of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all listening? Come on now. We're going to see if y'all are full of the Spirit this morning. He said, when you're full of the Spirit of God, you want to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, when the Holy Spirit is in us, it just makes us want to sing the praises of God. You say, well, Brother Sam, I can't sing. Well, God is not interested in your talent to sing. You're not singing for praise, you are singing to praise. In Psalm 100, David said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You may not know do from so, but I want to tell you, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, there's something in you that wants to sing to the glory of God. You know, Paul and Silas were singing at midnight. And you know where they were singing? Not in a church service like this. In a jail cell in Philippi. Are y'all with me? Listen to Paul and Silas. They're over there in chains. They've been locked into the innermost part of the prison. And they're over there in that damp, miserable prison. And you'd think they'd be over there belly aching, complaining, and saying, God, where are you? Why did you let me end up in this jail? No, sir. Not these men. They're full of the Holy Spirit. You know what they're singing? What they're doing? They're singing. You say, well, Brother Sam, that's not me, and that's not... Well, I want to tell you, you and I could do the same thing if we get full of the Holy Spirit. Singing. Praising God at midnight. You say, well, I can't relate to that. You and I need the Holy Spirit. You take a man that's down and out and he gets drunk on alcohol. If you've ever been around a drunk person, you know they can get happy. And they'll try to sing. And they can't walk straight. And they're, you know, they're not in their right mind, but that alcohol is having an effect on them. Well, it's not a good effect. Would y'all agree? I've been around too many drunks in my life to want to get to be a drunk. As I've said 1,000 times, you don't have a problem in your life that alcohol and drugs can't make worse. But I'm telling y'all about something that doesn't have any side effects, any bad influence, the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Brother Sam, where do I get it? Walmart? No, you get on your knees and you say, Father, would you fill me with the Holy Spirit? And you know what Jesus said? He said, God will never turn anybody down who asks for the Holy Spirit. My soul. I'm looking at y'all this morning. I'm going to tell you what you need and what I need every day of our lives. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We just desperately need that. And when we're blessed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the first news you know, we will be minimizing our problems. We'll start singing, the Lord has been so good to me. How many of y'all like that song? Come on now. How many of y'all really like that song? The Lord has been so good to me. What about that song, count your many, what? Blessings. Blessings. Name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, we're coming up on what I think is probably the greatest holiday in America. You know what it is? What's your favorite holiday? Some of y'all said Thanksgiving. That's a wonderful holiday. And just this country, our government set that day, that Thursday in November, aside as a day for our nation to concentrate on our blessings. We are blessed. Do y'all know how blessed we are? No, none of us. We don't really have much of a clue as to how blessed we are. If you are able to get out of bed this morning, dress yourself, eat a little breakfast, and come over here, do you know you're blessed? We are exceedingly blessed people. And we ought to count our blessings and name them one by one, and it'll surprise us what the Lord has done. Now let's get back to our text. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now here is John over here on this lonely island. Not in the fellowship of the brothers and sisters. Didn't have a Bible or a book. But I'm going to tell you, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he looked up and he saw heaven opened. That's what I need in my life at my age. That's what everybody needs. To be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. First news you know, you'll start praying for people you don't like. Is anybody in the house today know anybody that you just don't particularly like? Ooh. You get under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the first news you know, you'll be praying for them. You will. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do for us. See, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said before he left this world, he said, if I go away, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Holy Comforter. And let me tell you, beloved, he did. And he's in the world today. And he's right here in this building right now. And I think a lot of you are full of the Holy Spirit this morning and you're blessed. You are blessed to be full of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind scriptures and truths that you've known and loved through the years. Now, let's get back to our text and we got to close. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, how is it that he is the way? Who is going to heaven? Well, I want to tell you, I want to go with you over to 2 Samuel. And I want to look with you this morning in 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want to look at the words of a dying man. You know, a dying man's testimony has more weight than if he was not dying. Well, let's look in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1. Now, these be the last words of David. David is nearing the end of his life. These are his last words. And there's so much in this chapter, but I just want to point out these are the last words of David. Reckon what's going to be on your mind and my mind when we know we're dying? You reckon we're going to be sorry because we didn't go to more ball games or we didn't make more money or we didn't spend more time at the office? I don't think so. When you and I are nearing that moment when we know that everything familiar with us is soon going to leave and we're going to depart this world, what do you reckon our minds are going to be on? I hope it'll be where David's was. These be the last words of David. Let's come down to verse 5. David has just described a beautiful life. And then he says in verse 5, my house is not so with God. David was a sinner. And David's house was not perfect. His children were in rebellion. There was rebellion, insurrection in David's family. David had a lot of heartaches. And David is looking at his life and his house and says, my life is not perfect. Yet God has made with me an everlasting covenant. Are y'all stay with me just a few more minutes, please. David, a dying man, says, my life has not been what it should have been. I've made a lot of blunders, a lot of mistakes, a lot of bad choices. But God has made with me an everlasting covenant. Now, what is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between two or more parties. Now, here, God has made an everlasting covenant. Not a temporal covenant, not a covenant that will end at death. It's an everlasting covenant. And notice the covenant that David mentions here is ordered in all things and sure. In other words, everything necessary for me going to heaven when I die was ordered in the covenant. Ordered in all things and sure. For this is how much of my salvation, all my salvation. And all my desire, although he make it not to grow. What is that covenant? Well, we turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, and the Apostle Paul would, I think he describes to us the everlasting covenant that God made before the world began. He says, for whom he did foreknow. Let me tell you, if you believe that verse, you've got to believe in a God that is eternal. He didn't have a beginning, and he'll never have an end. Where did God come from? He came from nowhere. He's going nowhere. He is eternal. And before the world was ever created, God chose a people. He foreknew them in his covenant of grace, and he elected them by sovereign, irresistible, and unconditional grace. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate in the covenant that David was looking at as a dying man. David knew that God predestinated, that all that he foreknew would be with him in heaven someday. How many of y'all believe that God is able to predestinate? I'm not. But you know a God who is able to predetermine the final destiny of all of his elect family. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. When you and I come out of our graves on resurrection morning, our bodies will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Just as you and I have borne the image of Adam on this earth, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly in resurrection glory. I'm looking forward to that. What about y'all? Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. That's part of the covenant of grace, the everlasting covenant. He calls them from death and sin to life in Jesus Christ. And when God calls somebody, it's an effectual call, beloved. Whether it's a baby in the mother's womb or whether it's a violent man on the Damascus Road, when God calls, it's an effectual call. And whom he called, them he also what? Justified. You and I have been justified in the courtroom of heaven through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And whom he justified them, he also glorified. That's the covenant of grace. That's the covenant David was looking at as a dying man. Let's read it again. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. This covenant cannot grow. I've heard preachers say that they're adding to this number. People that'll go to heaven. No, the number that'll be in heaven was determined by God before the foundation of the world. And I want to turn with you in closing this morning to Luke's Gospel chapter 10. The disciples of Jesus had been on a preaching trip and they came back rejoicing because the devils were subject to them. I'd be happy this morning if the devils were subject to me. Sometimes I'm subject to them, sadly. But listen, they come back rejoicing. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Did you all hear that? Jesus said for us to rejoice because our names are written where? In heaven. Who wrote your name in heaven? I believe God did it. And he wrote it in the Lamb's Book of Life. And everybody whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in heaven someday because the Lamb died for them and gave them eternal life. The only way to heaven is through the blood of Jesus. If Adam and Eve are in heaven, they'll be there through the blood of Jesus. If Moses is in heaven, it won't be because he kept the Ten Commandments. He'll be there through the blood of Jesus. And if you and I are in heaven, it'll be through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Y'all, are y'all with me today? Now, if you're rejoicing in anything in this present world more than you're rejoicing that your names are written in heaven, you've got your priorities out of order. There's a lot of things we rejoice in. I rejoice that I've got a good wife, good children, grandchildren. I rejoice that I'm part of a good church here. I'm rejoicing that I'm a citizen of America. There's a lot of things I'm rejoicing in today. But the greatest joy I've got, you know what it is? My name is written in heaven. And you know who wrote it? God wrote it up there. And you know who the Lamb died for? Everybody whose names are in that book. And I want to tell you, there's not enough men on earth, preachers on earth, that can add one name to that book. And praise God, there's not enough demons in hell to take one name out of the book. Everybody that Jesus wants with him in heaven will be there without the loss of one. How many of y'all believe that? Are y'all worshiping a God this morning that's going to be defeated in the end? And people he wants in heaven are not going to be there? I asked a brother in this church a while back, I said, if your son was being drafted for the army, and he was going to be sent to a battlefield where 100% of the soldiers are being killed, I said, would you try to keep him from being drafted if you could? He said, I would. He said, I'd take his place. Well, I want to tell you all this morning, Jesus Christ took our place. I wish I could preach. I wish I could preach in such a way that when y'all leave here today, your minds would be stayed on the best friend you've got in the whole universe, and that's Jesus. You want to ask me who my best friend is? I want to tell you, it's my Savior. He's not only my Savior, he's my best friend. He sticks to me closer than a brother. He's always there for me. Every day, every night, in every heartache, every trial, Jesus is with me in this broken, troubled world. Sometimes I forget him and I get down and out. But when my mind is stayed on him, when my mind is stayed on Jesus Christ, y'all might think I'm drunk. Y'all might think, what's Brother Sam been smoking? Are y'all with me? Is anybody getting what I'm saying this morning? I want to tell you, it's glorious. My name is written in heaven. Jesus wrote it there. He paid the price at Calvary for me to go to heaven. He is the way, the only way. And I'm going by his grace and his mercy. Why wouldn't I be happy? You say, Brother Sam, you just don't know the trouble I'm dealing with. No, but I know a God who can help you through it. Are y'all with me today? Are y'all getting this? I wish, you know, as a preacher, I tell you, sometimes I leave church, I made such a failure today because I didn't get it over. Y'all don't know what it's like to feel like you're a failure as a preacher. Because this is the most glorious message on the planet. It is. And I want to preach good. I want to be able to connect with the people. But I know I need the Holy Spirit to do that. And y'all need to be full of the Holy Spirit. If you're not, your mind, no telling what your mind is right now. Y'all can sit in church and your mind can be 1,000 miles away and you don't get it. How many times have I told y'all I want you to get it? I remind y'all occasionally of the young teenage girl who came in the handshake and said, Pastor, I got it. Oh, that thrills me. I want y'all to get it. I want y'all to know this life is brief. I know that. The other day I took Franklin to the doctor. I took him to two doctors this week. And they took his blood pressure. It's perfect. Oxygen level, perfect. Temperature, perfect. And the doctor said, well, You're probably going to live to be 100. Franklin said, well, I don't have long if I do. Life is brief. Have y'all noticed that? I mean, it's flying by. It didn't take long to get here. But I want to tell you, when this life is over, and we know it will be, we all must die. But I want to tell you, there's something
out of this world waiting for you. Everybody in this house today, I believe y'all are God's children. He loves you. He's prepared a home for you in heaven. And you're going there by grace. And when you get over there, there won't be any need for preachers. Won't be any need for funeral homes. There won't be any need for hospitals. There won't be any need for prisons. There won't be any need for cemeteries. You say, well, Brother Sam, what's it like? I don't know, but I tell you one thing. It is glorious. And I'm glad just to have the privilege to get up here this morning and tell a bunch of sinners that y'all are saved by grace and you're going to heaven by His amazing grace. And that ought to be able to cheer us up right now. Thank you all for your good attention.